Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Can you pass that to me there?
Yep, sure.
We have been having programs back-to-back about what has taken place in the nation and so many things with the storms that are taking place and the recent one that's in the Pensacola Escambia County area. I want to encourage you, you can go to VFNTV.com and find out more. We're soon going to have available for all of our viewers and listeners a way that you can give financially to be able to help meet the needs. You're going to be able to go to VFNTV.com, and we have direct relationships with a lot of folks in that area, and we can directly make sure that 100% of it goes into the needs of those in those areas. We just were able to provide, think about this. I mean, you can only do so much, but in the context of this, imagine that it was concentrated and you brought one family from disaster to a place of not in disaster, and they're back on their feet again immediately. And this happened within less than 24 hours.
Yeah, it's quickly.
And that family now can help the other families. And that's kind of what, you know, what I'm seeing. So stay tuned to VFNTV.com. On the front page, you'll see about disaster relief for the biblical proportion storm. You'll see on the front page there how to be able to give. And it'll be specifically going to that particular needs that are there. If you heard, all of you heard recently, just yesterday, the Supreme Court made a decision. The Supreme Court made a decision that was very, very encouraging in regards to the right to pray. You had somebody that was an atheist and a Jew who sued, who professes to be a Jew. Because I don't think, But either way, that she professes to be a Jew, that she was offended that people were praying in the name of Jesus. And the World Jewish Congress said that the leader of the World Jewish Congress says that the church stands with us, and they stood with us in persecution. Right. And so we're going to stand with the church. And that's the World Jewish Congress. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who leads Israel, is a friend of the church, and the church is a friend of Israel. And we stand for, you know, Christians United for Israel. And all. So, Benjamin Netanyahu's for Jesus, praying in Jesus. he has no problem. He's not offended when people pray in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, they invite us to come to Israel. So get a perspective. When you hear somebody say that and they say, hey, you know, I'm a Jew and I'm offended by that, understand that's not what the Israeli Jews are saying about the church. That is an individual who's using that.
That's right.
That to be able to as a foothold or some sort of stronghold to try to stop the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and the freedom of religion that we have in the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. But I got good news. They took this to the Supreme Court. This was in Maryland, and they were saying that, you know, you couldn't in public meetings, you know, if you go to county, like for example, I just recently I get invited sometimes to go to these meetings and governmental meetings and the gates of the city, I guess you would call it. Mm-hmm. And I pray in Jesus' name. I mean, that's who's my Lord.
That's right.
You know, you invite me. You
can't
know,
pray,
me and Jesus.
Can't pray no other
me
name.
Me and Jesus
Sorry.
Is coming, man. There ain't no other name. And they should know that, you know, and they do. They have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But this particular two folks did. But they took it to the Supreme Court and said, we want to sue. And one city councilwoman, you got to see this. You're going to see this from CBN News. It's got a report on this. That she said, I don't care if I go to jail. We're not doing away with this. She said, I don't know if other council members feel the same way as this, but I'm not gonna go with this.
Good for her.
Is that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
Imagine if you thought about, you know, I'm here as an elected official. There is this thing called the Constitution, and I'm gonna read it, and it says in the Constitution, in the First Amendment, that you can actually pray openly. You cannot make any laws concerning religion.
That's right.
So just, you know, back off, right? So they took it to the Supreme Court, and as a matter of fact, I want you to hear this now. Take a look. You can see it, too.
prayer at public meetings can continue across the country. Good evening. I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Wendy Griffith. The Supreme Court today upheld the longstanding tradition in a split decision. And although supporters of the public prayers are claiming a victory, opponents say the fight is far from over. John Jessup has details in tonight's top story.
The High Court ruling centers on an action that dates back to our founding, when the First Continental Congress began with Christian prayers. 240 years later, America is much more religiously diverse than back then. Part of the reason an atheist and Jew challenged prayers at public meetings in the town of Greece, New York. They claimed the prayers were mostly Christian, made them uncomfortable, and amounted to coercion. But in the majority opinion, Justice Kennedy warned against the courts becoming censors of religious speech, writing, "Government is prohibited from prescribing prayers in order to promote a preferred system of belief or code of moral behavior. It would be a few steps removed from that prohibition for legislatures to require chaplains to redact their religious content from their message in order to make it acceptable for the public sphere." Implications for the ruling extend across the country.
This is picturesque Carroll County with its farmhouses and rolling hills. It's a peaceful place on the outskirts of Baltimore. But at the intersection of faith and politics, there's a storm brewing and it's drawing national attention.
A group of residents sued the county because the commissioner's opening prayers were only Christian. A federal judge agreed, temporarily barring the board from praying in Jesus' name. That didn't sit well with one of the commissioners.
I think that is an infringement on my First Amendment rights of free speech and free religion, and I think it's a wrong ruling. But out of respect for my colleagues, I'm not sure how strongly they feel about it. I'm willing to go to jail over it.
Commissioner Frazier appeared on Fox News defending her stance.
John 16:24 says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." That's Jesus speaking, and so that's how I pray.
Commissioner Frazier, Carroll County, and their legal team all declined CBN's request for interviews. While they remain tight-lipped about the issue, people in and around the county had strong opinions.
Your thoughts about opening up the commission hearings with prayer?
I agree 100%, yes, I do.
And what about opening the prayer using the name of Jesus?
Yes, I agree with that too, absolutely.
I think that's the part that makes it feel very specific to Christianity. If it was just a generic, "Everyone to pray to some higher power," that'd be all right, but that automatically excludes me.
Monica Miller represents the residents. She says the Supreme Court ruling won't make much of a difference in the Carroll County case.
It looked like the town was making an effort to be all inclusive, and it seemed as though, although a majority of those prayers ended up being Christian, that there were others. And in this case, if the county, you know, decided to completely change its practice and do something exactly like the town of Greece, perhaps that would be okay.
Jordan Seculo of the American Center for Law and Justice disagrees.
The court said today is if you're going to have prayer and there's a Christian praying, they can absolutely close their prayer in Jesus' name. Then we're not going to make that distinction anymore. So I think that will have an impact on a number of cases.
John Jessup, CBN News, Carroll County, Maryland.
That is so exciting to see sanity.
Yes.
I mean, this commissioner, is she beautiful?
Yes.
She says, well, John 16:24 says praying in his name. That's Jesus. So you want some joy? It's Jesus that brings the joy. Mm-hmm. And Lord, bless her, protect her, you know, reward her for standing up for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, may she be a role model for other
commissioners and city council.
Absolutely, mayors that say, hey, God allowed me to be in this position, and I'm not going to turn my back on them.
Yeah, I mean, how, and she says, I'm willing, and this is the whole thing. You have to just lay it down, and I'm willing to go to jail for this because that's what the enemy's going to threaten.
She said,
everything.
I ain't scared.
Yeah, I'm not scared.
I ain't scared.
You know, I'm willing to go to jail for this. And the thing about it is, and the enemy would love to put you in jail for that, but mm-hmm. they can't as long as the Constitution's there.
That's
even
right.
Though, you know, our current leadership is talking about how it's outdated and it's a list of negative rights, the Constitution, and that. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet gone to the original tent on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com. I encourage you, before we no longer have a constitution, that you go and begin to just learn about the original tent of this nation and understand, because of the constitution, what God has allowed to take place in this nation, you have liberties to be able to stand up and do what this commissioner says. She says, that's a violation of my constitutional rights, which means She couldn't say that without the Constitution. So you need to know, what does the Constitution say? And you can go through and find us. And my goodness, these founding fathers, there's something the Lord let them know in the process of walking out what they walked out, that America had to do what it did to be able to get the freedoms that we have that many aren't even using. But understand, when you do that, you'll find out that every political leader that's put into a place of leadership swears an oath. They swear an oath to defend the Constitution. It's the literal Constitution that they're defending.
That's right.
And somebody says, well, you know, they're saying that the Constitution is this and is that. It's like, well, they lied then, because if you're swearing to protect it, then it should be your close friend. You should carry the Constitution with you. You should study it. You should say, let me go back and check out my pocket version of the Constitution to make sure, because I swore to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic, which means there's people that are against it outside of America and people that are against it inside America. And my job as your leader, because you're truly the leader, it's we the people that's the leader, and you're allowing me a time to be able to represent you, you're saying is, you want to make sure that I guard your constitutional rights there in your 4 years, 6 years, mm-hmm. 2 years you're in office. I'm in office. That's what I want you to do. And how many, and we're just seeing the spirit across the land, and I'm talking about all the way from city councils up to D.C., that people are just ignoring what constitutional rights are.
That's right.
And it's like, you need to find out what they are, and then you'll know if they're being violated mm-hmm. or not. And understand this. And if we want to keep the Constitution, you can read it all you want to and just say, you know what, I'm going to read it and memorize it. But God still won't let us have it if we as God's people don't get into the Word of God and begin to read it. More people are fighting for the Constitution than they're fighting for the Bible.
That's right.
For what God says. For the church, not for the world. I'm talking about preaching the gospel to a people who said no. We're talking about to the church. And we should, that because of God, God has allowed this nation to stand. He says, I'll raise them up and I'll take them down. If I have good intentions for a nation, it's going to happen. If they turn wrong, I'll refrain from those good intentions that I had, and I'll take it back down again. But if they repent, I'll allow it to come. It sounds like God's totally in control, right?
That's right.
So I just want to encourage you, go to Original Tent on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. You see that torch burning in the top left-hand corner. Click on that, and you'll see a menu choice. This is a menu choice that says Original Tent. And we begin to explore things like, what is the citizenship test? Understand that there is a test that people take to become a citizen. That truly, we didn't even know some of the answers to it. And we had to think, my goodness, we need to learn about our own country and what it's about before it's taken away from us. We'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you've ever felt there's more month than money and that your paycheck just doesn't cover the bills, it may be time to make a budget. This is John Fuller, and financial expert Dave Ramsey shares some practical ways you can do that on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Every dollar has a mission. Every month before the month begins, on paper, on purpose, and you agree on it with your spouse. But zero-based means your income is at the top minus all of these missions, assignments for every dollar. Every dollar has a name until you get to the bottom and it's exactly zero, which means you have to kind of work on it a little bit to get it to zero out. But you can't have any money that's just kind of laying there, because that money will disappear. You have to tell every dollar what to do, or you will wonder where it went.
Well, making a budget requires some effort, and staying on budget can be hard, but do it today. You can find out how at focusonthefamily.com/finances.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order, and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com,
I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, welcome back. We are going to be talking about in the future. We're not going to do it now because of the things that are taking place, but the Huffington Post has an article out. This is the question that they put out. They posted in their article just yesterday. Is it time to change our views of adultery in marriage?
Wow.
I mean, it's just progressive. It's just not stopping, is it? And they talk about it. And they even have one particular couple has a book out, says, you know, that the good news about marriage. And they're saying that the 50% of marriages end in divorce is not true. But what they're not taking into context of it, fewer people are getting married.
Right.
I mean, your sample gets smaller. Obviously, it's like, yes, you know, it's 50%. Well, how many people are there? There's two. That means the other one did and the other one didn't. So the sample's getting smaller.
Well, previously we spoke on the program about the movie that just came out, Irreplaceable, about the family unit and how powerful it is.
So we've already talked about Irreplaceable and shown that
we haven't shown it though. We talked about it.
We definitely share it. But it talked about how marriages, they're issuing temporary marriage licenses in Mexico. Send them to try it out.
Yes, try it out. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, but the whole thing is it's just leaving, you know, God's original intent. You know, it's for the man to leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife and wife to the husband, and then they become one. Sad thing about it, what the culture has developed is they spend their entire marriage trying to figure out which one they're going to become.
Right.
And the truth is that we're supposed to become like Christ. You know, the man shouldn't become like the woman and the woman shouldn't become like the man. They should rejoice in how God's created them and become more like the Lord. I'm talking about the church in the context of that. But what the statistics that you'll see is, do you have that trailer available?
I do.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hey. This is what they're saying in the Huffington Post. And this is the statistic. The statistics say this, that you remember the 60s. You heard me talk about the 60s before in regard to all the things that was loosed in the culture. You had the end of the 50s. You had Sanger with the birth control pill coming into the 60s. The 60s, we had, they called it the sexual, you know, freedom. Which was really sexual bondage, you know, spiritually and actually ended up physically in some cases.
Yes,
and then because of the birth control pill didn't keep people from totally getting pregnant. So then they pushed for, okay, that doesn't stop children. What else will stop children? Let's just kill them.
Mm.
And so they had Roe versus Wade that came out, you know, but they pushed really hard for it. And they marched in the 60s and just... They called it, you know, rights, that the people who actually bears the child has the right for the child's destiny, not anybody else, which would be the mother of the child, has the right to abort the child, is what some were saying and some weren't. And Phyllis Schaffner, I forget her name, but we have her down the whole segment. Hopefully it's a related segment. You can hear all that. But so here we are today. And when I looked at some of the charts with the family and with marriage, it shows the graph of, you know, in 1850s all the way up to the present day of marriage, and the graph has dropped back down to where the population has increased now. Understand, somebody says, well, at least we're still there. Well, no, if you've gotten more, if more people have, we've got, you know, 6 point something billion people on the face of the earth, I mean, we've doubled in population more than likely, but we're back. The marriage level based on this particular statistic, and we'll make it available to you in this chart, shows the graph back in the 60s. So where we are now in regards to marriage is right when marriage in the family was under assault.
Wow.
Everything about men and fathers and mothers and parents and family, it was just, the enemy just launched everything against that in the late 50s, all the 60s and the early 70s. And now, after all this journey, because the chart still kept going up, people still got married, but now it's come back down and it's still decreasing, that now we're level with the 60s, right when it was under attack. Now, if we don't stop, we're going to drop back down to the 1850s, because they're asking, Huffington Post is not a source we quite often, you know, use, but Huffington Post is writing an article, said, you know, that it's kind of like passe, you know, this marriage and, you know, adultery, you know, it's really not good for somebody to cheat on you. I mean, nobody likes that, but really, you know, and the title of their article, is it time to change our views on adultery and marriage? And that's what's happening is, you know, God says one thing and you'll find people start entertaining ideas like, did God really say that's about adultery? Yeah. Did he really say don't eat from this tree? Does he really just not want you to have multiple sexual partners for the rest of your life? I mean, is he trying to hold you in this thing that you're not happy with anymore? Or, you know, he just starts, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Satan began to say, did God really say that?
Right.
And next thing you know, because they got involved in that conversation, the answer we got to say, even if we're in violation of it, we got to say, that's exactly what he said. And by God's grace, I'm on a journey back to
that. That's right.
But I can't change what God said. And focus on the family. You hear us continually with ACLJ and focus on the family, that these are two primary, you know, fight for the constitutional right of the church and the family. Dr. Dobson just poured his life out for the families, and he was launched in the 60s and the 50s during all that, 60s and 70s during that time, in the 80s. And you hear focus on the family. It comes from this burden. And so now there is a movie out that we've talked about before, but now the trailer is out. It's being released. If you're listening on the radio now, it's being released on May the 6th. So find in a limited release. Yeah. So you got to find it in your area.
That's today.
And go to it. And go to it because today, if you're listening in the context of that, so that you want to be able to go and see this and support it, because they're asking the question. As a matter of fact, I want you to see this trailer. Listen up. Watch this. You can see it on CTN.
One more question. How important is your family to you?
Very important.
Can you tell me why?
If you didn't have a family, you would die because you need love to live.
As I contemplate the world around me, I'm perplexed. I've always believed in traditional family. Man and woman marry, they have and raise children. They remain committed for a lifetime. But every day in the media, the life choices of my neighbours, even in public policy, I seem to be told that I've got it wrong.
The biggest change that's taken place in education over the last generation actually has nothing to do with schools, but everything to do with what's happened to the family in the last generation. Dad is just not there on a regular basis. Out of wedlock childbirths have gone through the roof. We're at about 40% right now of all births are out of wedlock.
24 million children in America have no biological fathers in their home.
Was divorcing after many years of marriage.
Is it time, Danielle, to acknowledge the end of traditional marriage and embrace some new ideas about romance and family?
It's time for me to really get into my life. Think about me as an individual, not as a marital partnership. Why should people be in relationships that they're stuck in?
Saying I do till death do us part. Couples in Mexico City who want to get married, but not forever, may be able to soon get a temporary marriage license.
You're buying a car, a lease with an option to buy.
So I have to ask the question, does culture have it right? Or is there something better?
But when you finally get past that and you say, no matter what, I'm committed to you, I want to give more, I want to serve more, then that sets a tone that betters the world.
Is there a way to do family that really works? What can we learn from history, ancient tradition, modern psychology, from religion, from other cultures?
But marriage is not a contract. It is a vow. A vow is a very different thing. It's where you dedicate your life to another person. And there aren't any terms. You know, it's not a promise to do some specific thing, but a gift of the person.
Might that solution provide a pathway to healing broken hearts, reducing poverty, combating violence and injustice? What if that solution also points to the ultimate question of our need to belong, to be loved, to be part of something enormous and greater than ourselves? Join me on a journey of discovery as we literally search the world for answers.
We need love to live.
Amazing. I'm telling you, this is time to focus on. Don't give up on the family. Don't redefine the family. Don't go with these conversations like the Huffington Post is talking about. And over again, if you haven't read the book that Dr. Dobson wrote about fathers, this, can't even tell you the name of it, but it's going to be a related article to this. You can find it on the VFN Torch. But it was amazing how it ends up. The ultimate thing is that the children devour the parents. I mean, basically, they just, you know, through, what is it called when you end somebody's life?
Euthanize?
Yeah, euthanization of parents. It's like, you know, you've lived your life. You know, you're sucking up resources. And this book is just so powerful because it is exactly what's going on. And if anybody can tell the future of family, Dr. Dobson would be able to do it. And if we don't turn, and in this book, it talks about, you got to get it, about how the paradigm, there's not going to be assisted living facilities and nursing homes and all that. This paradigm with this new medical and all that kind of stuff, they're going to say, listen, you're just sucking up my future. Mm. I can have everything that you have now if you just go ahead and die. So just do us a favor and go ahead and take the injection that this particular congressman, this is a book, that it talks about the dilemma of politics, and they really voted for this particular pharmacy company because they were actually producing the drug that allowed their children to euthanize their parents. And so they went into what was looked like a nursing home, but actually it was a small office where she had to sign the right to die.
Wow.
Listen, the family will not die unless we let it die. Understand, it's time for the family of God to rise up. Until the church gets family right, the world's not going to get it right. It's time for us to be the family of God, sons and daughters of God, Father God, elder brother Jesus Christ, the firstborn from amongst the dead, so that many sons could be born into the kingdom of God. It's time for us to rise up and be the family of God. It truly is irreplaceable in the kingdom of God and in society.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation. And this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Data Radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Want to welcome our Christian television network audience around the nation and around the world. Want to welcome our radio audience as well. Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to vfntv.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation. And I'm looking here and we're going to be talking about some prophetic things, some warnings the Lord had given us. And but first I'm looking at the VFN torch right here. I'm actually looking at a post on our Facebook. If you haven't, you can go to VFNTV.com and follow us by liking our Facebook. I think it's like 41,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to our worldwide Facebook.
Yes.
You know, audiences out there. But this is the day that storm hits that the Pensacola, Escambia County area. I'm looking, I'm asking John, is like, was this after it happened? And John says, this was the day that it happened. So it began to rain this day.
What was that exact day? It was right before it.
Right before it, because it was posted. It says April 28th.
Whenever it was posted, that's when it was shared.
Okay. So then we're looking at, if you have been listening and watching, at least listening to VFN TV and Data Radio program, if you look at it, there's a post and there's a flood taking place in this house, and it's entitled Avoiding the Hard Crashes That Are Bound to Come When We Don't Build on the Right Foundation.
Wow.
I'm telling you, this is right. It's like, this is the religions turned prophecy into prophet.
Wow.
But truly, prophecy is God speaking to us and sharing direction and his heart with us. And we're just sharing. And it's like every step of the way, he's letting us know. Right before that flood of the disaster, according to Congressman Jeff Miller, which you heard on an earlier program or saw, he said, he started trying to figure how long has it been since this has ever happened. He said, this has probably never, ever happened before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, areas that never flooded before. And that's what's going to happen. You know, there is no paradigm. There is no grid for what's happening. It's going to happen. But understand, I'm looking right here. I mean, right before we came on the program today, I'm looking right here at our Facebook. Listen, you know, a lot of people use Facebook and posts and podcasts for a lot of different things. Why not use it to be fed the bread of life? Why not use it to be informed and encouraged and enlightened and inspired, you know, and educated? And to be informed, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. If you would have been listening or watching VFN TV and the Data Radio program on that day, you would have had a foundation and been able to make adjustments in your life before that storm hit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And I just saw it because I'm just like, did that happen? That's exactly what. So we're just sharing with the Lord. So it's just confirmation of what, you know, God's been showing. We're going to talk to you today about some prophetic warnings that God has made known that's going to happen. And one is about two is about the Midwest, but it just seems like the heart, when you think about Midwest, you're thinking about this, actually three, it's the heart of America. So you're not thinking, well, it's just going to happen. Obviously, for example, what happened down in Pensacola and Escambia County, Florida, that's not the heartland.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see stuff happening and God shows you a vision or a prophetic dream, and it's happening in the center of the United States. He's talking about, we're seeing, it's the heart of America's under attack. And so we have to realize, well, somebody says, well, that couldn't be. It's like, I just lost my home.
Yeah, right.
I just flooded my car. Truck is buried under miry muck into a place that's never even, you know, had a flood before. Don't tell me that I'm not under great turbulence right now. And so, you know, first, John, I want you to share, you know, what the Lord laid on your heart, and I'm going to talk about the what the Lord has shown me, and hopefully get a chance to be able to share some of the things the Lord has spoken through Sharon Holderbaum and Brett Holderbaum, both are prophetic, and in Denver, But, you know, God lets us know what's happening. So yeah. Talk to us.
And we're sharing it before it happens. So
yes, that's the goal. Yeah.
That's the goal. It's to share it before
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, the goal is to let you know before this happens so you can prepare. Not see. So, yeah, I knew exactly.
Right.
I was fixing to die the next day. I knew that. Yeah. It's right. Like, no, let's prevent that.
Yeah. Right,
let's prevent that from taking place.
God showed me in a dream the center of the United States totally destroyed, annihilated. It was just complete devastation, and it was storm related. And typically when you have these storms that come into an area, disaster, if you will, you know, the first 24 to 40 hours are crucial, critical in saving lives, people that are trapped or buried or are just stuck somewhere. And it's all about saving lives. And then after a certain period of time, you know that those people, so much time has passed and you can't save them anymore. And I, in the dream, already knew, it's how dreams are from the Lord sometimes, you just know things. I knew that period in time had already passed. There was no way that anyone had survived this type of devastation. It was that bad.
It was the aftermath.
This was done. Mm-hmm. And I proceed to the next part of this dream. I'm actually, there's people, you know, repairing and, you know, doing the stuff that people do after the storm, cleaning up, doing those things. At the end of that long period of time, that day, if you will, everyone went down to sleep. Everybody was asleep. When then someone comes in the next morning and starts,
You're talking about a dream.
In a dream, mm-hmm. Getting in my door and says, "Hey, listen, get up." He says, "Last night while we were under this storm and under this attack, we were actually hit by our enemies. When we were most vulnerable, we were hit by our enemies." Mm-hmm. And instantly in the dream, I was lifted up way above the earth, and I was looking down at the United States. And as I was looking at the United States, I could see that the center of the nation was destroyed. But then I also saw these airplanes, and they were coming in like in a single file line, if you will, and they were flying. They were coming up the coast of Florida. That would probably be the west coast of Florida, southwest. And then they were just going all
the
way
up. On the Gulf side.
On the Gulf side, absolutely. And then they were coming up through the Panhandle and going down, you know, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, all the way around. And what they were doing is they were dropping continual bombs. We were under attack. They weren't staying. They weren't shooting. It was just a constant barrage. Mm. They went all the way up California, exit all the way to the east. And at that time, I was brought into a room, a planning room, where there were three people. They were unfolding maps. I believe that was just the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God was giving me counsel about what was going to be next, what was going to happen. And they were unrolling these maps and these scrolls on this table. And it was me and these three individuals, and get ready to reveal to me what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. But this is that.
Did you get to see the maps?
No, they weren't maps. They were scrolls.
Oh, scrolls.
It was a plan of action during this time. And God's certainly given us.
We talked about that even just recently in the program, talking about revelation, the revelation of Christ, and how hear what my spirit says to the churches.
Yeah.
And you know, God's going to let us know, you know, what to do. And these are some of the things that's going to happen. And in talking about, you know, we're under attack type thing, that these are all going to be made available to you in depth. So it's connected. You'll find links that you can hear in more depth of these as we share them. But the Lord showed me very specifically that America is going to be under physical attacks. You know, quite often it's like, that means we're going to feel emotionally down. And it's a spiritual moment, you know, why our soldiers are dying. To protect us, it's physical, folks. We've got to wake up. The church has to wake up. And but the Lord showed me a physical battle, you know, happening where our land was under attack, and it had to be. I saw the ramifications of it. It was almost. So I'm not talking about what was in the air, but I'm talking about what appeared it had to be, because it was like if an aircraft is dropping bombs and they're still flying, then they progress. This bomb hits, and then the next one hits further down. The next one hits further down. And I saw it was physically being attacked. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord spoke to me later on and showed me that, you know, coming from this very base from, it was a Navy base, and the particular road was Navy Boulevard, and that it was, and people were dressed in Islamic garb, and that it is a Islamic mindset, a radical Islam mindset that wants to bring harm to us, and somebody says, that's far-fetched. 9/11.
Hello.
9/11.
Some Islamic terrorists just kidnapped 200 schoolgirls and said that Allah told him to sell them. So, hello.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And he then want to turn their entire nation there into a Islamic nation. That's what their goal is. And if you haven't yet got the book, I have it here somewhere. I have it on me. But about Islam, is it a peaceful religion? No, but we actually have a book available for you, and we'll make sure it's available for you at VFNTV.com. A little simple booklet that kind of helps you explain everything about it. And radical Islam is very evidentiary, very dangerous from the evidence that you see all over the place taking place. But he showed me that physically taking place. And I know when I shared the day I shared it, you got to hear it. You got to hear the day that I shared it, because I'm like, here it goes. This is real tough for Americans to hear because of our pride, because of our blindness, because of our I don't know. I mean, just our arrogance. The fact that we, you know, wouldn't think that we're going to suffer like other people would suffer in the context of that. And so as soon as I said it's going to be a physical battle, it's going to be physical. The very county, you can actually hear this. This whole, you can hear it happening. You'll hear me talk about, do we have battery backup?
Yeah.
Because we were down, everything, the entire county, or at least the region that we were in, went down. The power got hit. In addition, the fiber optics, where, you know, we deliver, you know, through fiber optics, and we deliver through
coaxial.
Yeah, coaxials and all these different things that we deliver through around the world, deliver the message through. And that a truck at the very same time caught on fire, hit the fiber optics and burned out the fiber optics. And it was like, boom, the whole place got hit. Oh,
that's right.
And the entire county had a physical hit, had a physical hit, which, by the way, is a confirmation that it's going to be physical. And in the church today, do we even know how to go through anything physical? You know, our great grandfathers did, because the life was more physical. Now today's life's virtual. And, you know, people just, if they sweat, it's virtual sweat. You know, watch this. I can look like I'm sweating. I've got an app for sweat.
I Photoshop this.
Yeah, Photoshop. No doubt. Or one of our biggest articles at one time on the VFN Torch, you know, viewed articles with hundreds of thousands have been viewed, was about jeans that people buy that give them the impression, if you see them, looks like they've worked hard, but actually people are actually making that happen.
Right.
They're scrubbing them and stuff. And so when we get back, I'm going to talk to you about this physical battle the Lord has shown me, and about how that we can be distracted by the small things and something huge, you know, is going to take place. But understand this. Don't be afraid. Realize the Lord says these things are going to happen. Don't worry about these things, but in this life, because, you know, storms are going to happen, but I'm going to overcome this life. I already have overcome this life, he said. And so those that are the Lord's, you know, you just get peaceful in this whole thing and understand really the only thing you're fearing is about the loss of things and stuff and, you know, what you perceive your future was. But our future as believers are in the presence, this is in the presence of God on the streets of glory, where there's no more sickness, no more tears, which is the perfect place that he's preparing for those who are his. We'll be back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors, and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city, but you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you, if God's calling you to relate to us as Vine Fellowship Network, or Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. I was at the hardware store.
Wait a second.
Wait.
What? Wait. Back up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, it was. I actually was at the hardware store. And
were you lost? Detail. Looking for the barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there. And stuff. And I'm walking around looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? And I'm having to find, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got to have a drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing. And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, it's drill and all that. But I realized later on, really? When I had to, I mean, that is shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw in with the screwdriver.
With your hand.
you know, labor.
I thought about it. I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't, there's two things that Pat introduced to me. Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah, the two things
is
totally
a family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is. I mean, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer.
Anything, just
before he abides
in
the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me, and he organized all the inventory.
Scrap. Okay,
until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And he you have these drills, and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then, it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something in the car to come around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries. As a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries? Everready's or something? The Everready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
I can see him stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my
How
luck.
How would that limousine move? That's what I want to know with that battery. I mean,
I don't know.
You need a super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run. So he's probably thinking about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about prophetic dreams and visions the Lord has been giving. And if you haven't yet seen, you've got to see see this prophecy that was given in 2013. It's going to be made available to all of our viewers, and it'll be available on the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com. We just want you to understand that this has happened. God talked about it, but also more is going to come if we don't do something. And John just shared what God had made known to him, and we're seeing some of these things just happen over a period of time. You think about it, somebody says, well, was that it, or was that? Understand, when you hear prophecy, it could take 40 years to unfold every part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're this instant generation, but now we're seeing God speak and instantly happen, real short periods of time. But one was, the Lord showed me when I was on a sabbatical, and he gave me this night vision, this dream, where I am looking, I'm standing in the Midwest, and in this dream, and I'm watching this thin tornado, and I'm looking east. And this thin tornado, everybody, it's so minor, it was so unique because it was so small, but even though it was a tornado, you know, people weren't paying a lot of attention to it. And they were looking at it, admiring it or whatever from a distance, but they weren't scared of it, didn't produce any fear. And it was coming above that tornado. That was just the whole sky. The storm was in the sky, but it obviously, you know, they were just thinking about the tornado, and they're pointing at it and whatever. I mean, it's like pencil thin. Mm. And then all of a sudden, as everybody's watching this, and you can imagine, if you're in Denver, for example, and you're looking east, you're looking over flatlands. You're looking at the plains that we talk about in the Psalms and all. So, you're in a lot of high mountainous area in the Denver area. But when you look over the middle part of the United States towards the east, you're looking at flat plains and all. And so we're looking over the plains in the heart of America, really. And in this, as everybody's watching the small storm, the small little tornado, the entire sky falls. The entire storm, if you would, that was in the sky, this whole dark formation storm, the whole thing just goes, it falls out of the sky and hits the ground. Mm. When it hits the ground, it's still the ground, but the ground starts moving like it's water. So the earth all of a sudden turns and reacts like it's water, and it turns into this huge wave, and all of a sudden this whole wave starts going from the east to the west. And I'm thinking, dear God, you know, what are you doing? What's about to happen on the face of the earth? What are you telling us about? And over again, God has shown me, and my prayer is this, and this has been our prayer, dear Lord, you know, bring us to a place of repentance that this would not have to happen. Prevent this thing from happening to us. God says he looks for a man to stand in the gap so he wouldn't have to destroy the land. So understand, we can stand in the gap like Jonah did for Nineveh. And he just said, and he was a reluctant prophet. And he went and prayed for a people and preached to a people he didn't really want to repent. But they did repent, and that's all God wanted. And when they did repent, God stopped the storm. And so all these things that we're seeing, and they're being fulfilled even as we speak, that we can all of a sudden do what Nineveh did. And Nineveh said, God's right, stop, repent, turn. And God stopped the destruction. So no matter what anybody tells you, our God can stop destruction. He can stop it. And so we just have to find out, see, you know, God, as we talked about earlier, that he is in control. And if we have been in rebellion to God and God's rebuking us because of our rebellion, wanting to turn us back to him, then we have to go, dear Lord, what do you want? What do you want from us? And this physical nature of the battle, and one aspect of what the Lord has been speaking to me about was that potential tragedies coming to America, so major that there was so much loss of life. There are so many corpses, so many bodies because of whatever had happened, that one entire commercial airline, you know, whatever it would be, you know, United or I don't know who it was, but it was the entire corporation was dedicated to one thing. You could not book a flight on this particular airline because their total responsibility was to transport corpses from around the nation to a particular place. Uh-huh. And guess where they were taking them? They were taking them to Eastern Gate, the Eastern Gate, a funeral home or land or graveyard or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're in some pretty interesting times. Understand that when you read, and you may have heard an earlier program about the book of Revelation, and I encourage you to listen to it and get hungry for a book that it's the only book in the Bible that God says, if you read, you'll be blessed for reading. It's a revelation of Christ, that some difficult times are coming, have come, and will come in the revealing of the Christ, of the revealing of Jesus. And we're seeing some pretty interesting things. And somebody says, well, that couldn't happen. Well, it happened with the tsunami that took place in the Indian Ocean when, you know, was it 300,000 or something lives, or 100,000 maybe? Lives were taken instantly with a tsunami that took place. Or obviously people that hate mankind and hate America, that hate Christians and Jews, they would want to do as much damage as they can to the human being. Mm-hmm. And they're limited by their own, you know, access to things. And that limitation is because God has put that limitation there. Right. Just think about it. That when you're looking at this Malaysian aircraft that's disappeared out there and you still can't find it, but at the same time, they're finding an aircraft from Utah, you know, in Iran, mm-hmm. right? They found an aircraft from Utah in Iran. Right. And that, you know, all it takes is a delivery device to be able to deliver something.
Wow.
And that's reportedly. And so in the context of this, that it's God that keeps us safe. It's God that keeps us safe. And over again, one aspect of it, just briefly, that where, you know, Brett was sharing how God has shown him that that our Air Force was fighting against red aircraft, and that were a dogfight basically going on in the air, and it was red aircraft coming after our aircraft, and while that was going on, that all of a sudden, for some reason, they started coming after the church. So everybody's looking in the sky at what was going on. All of a sudden, just like it happened when you listened to me talk about the Alinsky tactics and how when Saul, the organizer, was organizing against Stephen and they stoned Stephen. Mm-hmm. As soon as Stephen went down, they went immediately to come and pull the church out.
It's interesting that you say that, because you know, my sons and I were just talking about how they're playing the movie Pearl Harbor over and over and over again.
Really?
It was at a time where our nation was under attack.
A surprise attack.
Wow. Interesting, as we're just, you know, declaring and sharing what the Lord has made known.
Yes, and then and the interesting thing too is in that you know, Japan said we woke a sleeping giant.
Right.
And I believe, this is what I truly believe. I believe what Dr. King said, Dr. Martin Luther King, that there is good people in America that you just gotta get to them. And when they wake up, these other ones who are just out there and walking in darkness, their voices will be stifled, because there's good people in this nation. The church is here. We got to wake up. We got to wake up and say, dear Lord, here I am, Lord. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my complacency. Forgive me for my idolatry. Here I am. Send me. I will stand in the gap so you do not have to destroy this land. Here I am, Lord. Send me.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.